There's a church in the land by the wildwood, no lovely spot in the dale. Those branches so dear to my childhood, as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come, 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 come to the church in the wildwood. Oh, come to the church in the vale.
Save me from this guilt and power. assurance, first and fourth verse. I'm sorry, first and first and third verse.
Freedom ring. fasting and gathering up strength and nourishment to burst forth in the spring. May we so burst forth in the spring of your love and welcome and beckoning. Thank you for the gift of this time. You are everywhere and you are here. You are in all time and you are in this time. Amen. At this time in the service, welcome you to name, bring forward, speak of prayer requests. People who are dear to you or people you know about in the wider world who may be suffering or people who may be in a very joyful moment. It's a time for joy. So it's a time to be together amongst all of us, to be with each other and for each other, where there is pain and suffering and hurt, and also to celebrate joy. They're all part of the circle of life. So I welcome you to bring before us joy or concerns, we'd say, that all of us might hold in our hearts. Yes.
Actually, I have three things. The first one is a praise, and that is for our guests today, Jen and Frank, who are not only our guests, but also our new neighbors. So if you haven't had a chance to say hello to them, make sure you do before you leave today. I think they're going to be a great addition to our neighborhood. Second of all, many of you know that we've lost quite a few people in Madrid over the last 6 or 7 months, and one of them was Malcolm Weber, who came to this church for as long as he could, as long as he was able to take the steps to come into the church. He died in March. And a story about him that I really like to share is that when he would come, he would take his cap off and hang it on the hook out here in the vestibule. And then he would forget to take it when he left. So when he came back the next week, he'd have a hat on and it would be one on the hook. So now there would be two on the hook. And he usually remembered to take two when he left. So in honor of Malcolm, there is a hook dedicated to him. There's a little plaque. I hope you'll take the time to read it. And one of his hats is on the hook. So I just think that's a really special way to honor someone who really loved this church and was a huge part of it for a long time.
For dear Malcolm.
Yes, and his family.
And his family.
But he and his wife just celebrated 73 years of marriage.
73 years of marriage.
And then the last thing I want to say is just express my apologies for the very small rain on one of the songs that's inside your bulletin. It was the best I could do.
We'll
figure it out.
We'll get by.
It's really small. I'm sorry.
That's a word. That's a line in the song. I don't know if you can quote the singer, but we will get by.
We will get by. Thank you.
Yes.
I have a couple things. First of all, I'll try to speak up so that everyone can hear. I have so much praise for this church. It's been here for a lot of years, like the 1800s. I do also have a prayer request. My best friend since third grade has cancer. Her name is Joyce.
Joyce.
Pancreatic cancer. And just offer prayers for other individuals that I know are suffering also from cancer. Thank you.
Praise for Your mother and your grandmother?
No, my grandmother and my great-grandmother.
Your grandmother and great-grandmother.
Right, they were both teachers, and I'm sure that they're smiling up there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
I can add a little story to the Malcolm Webber story that Jenny was saying. My grandfather, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, was the town doctor in Phillips, Dr. Thompson. I have a list of all the babies he delivered by year, month, and day. So when I saw the obituary from Malcolm Webber, I didn't know the man, but you take people that age and you can look back on my grandfather's list, and that was Malcolm Webber. So there on this piece of paper was the day that he was born, and now you're reading his obituary. So it's all about the dash, right? What he did in that time frame.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So I had that list.
The name again, the physician, this is your...
Cecil Thompson, my grandfather.
Cecil Thompson?
Thompson. T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.
I remember.
And anybody, you know, my age or a little bit older in here, you know, they could very well say, yep, I knew Dr. Thompson. You know, I went there, he delivered me, you know, whatever. These people, yeah.
God bless his legacy and all those.
And just imagine those birth records are all available. Just try to find that information today, right? In these times when you can't get anything out of medical history.
With a big red pack on his back, and he's got this big bag of groceries.
if you know a slightly different version, which is more familiar to you, you might pray whatever version is of your choice. So let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us sing together the words in the bulletin. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Lest the work of our hands prosper the work of our hands. Bless those who share with us this morning that these gifts might go out and touch the hearts of the world. And may we know that the most precious gift of all is the gift of ourselves, our presence here. Thanks be to God. Amen. Time for the Young at Heart might be thought of in some circles as a children's story. I was preaching at a church once upon a time, and it was the first Sunday after school had gotten out, and I came prepared with a prop. I remember it was a conch shell. Some people call them a conch shell. And I had it was right up on the pulpit, and I said, "Oh my goodness!" So there weren't any children there that Sunday. And we had a big Sunday school thing, you know, the week before. Not down there. I said, "Oh well, I guess I won't do it. We'll save that for another time." Get the shell back. At the end of the service. Don't lay it. Now this is a question that I'm not story is one that the kids take home. But they get home.
It's a God-given gift.
Do you have grandchildren or great-grandchildren or nieces or nephews? Or be an interesting little question to ask. And there are as many of these to share as there may be those of you who would like. What is in the sea?
That would be an appropriate time to sing that doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
That's a good idea because
isn't that the next thing?
I forgot to do it. That's another song. I did borrow a little help from my friends. So let us please, you may sit or stand as you're moved to praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
If you'd like to read along in your pew Bible, it's page 1030. And I find it very interesting that this is the scripture for today because the last time we were gathered in this church was Easter, and that led up to what we were about to talk about today. So it's a nice little segue. I'm reading Luke 24, verses 23 through 35. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen, risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread.
Join with me in the spirit of prayer as I pray. God of grace, may the words that I speak, the words of my mouth, the meditations, the thoughts in all of our hearts, and all that we do as we go forth from this place this day, may all this be acceptable in your sight. Amen. In the part of the scripture before what Jenny read, the setting is that it's the afternoon of Easter. It wasn't called Easter then, but it was the afternoon after the women had gone to the tomb and found the stone rolled away and no Jesus, and it was an angel or figure that said, not here, risen. And it was late in the afternoon, and two people are walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is a village or a town known for its warm springs, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And on the road, it's kind of strange in a way that they're on the road. Now we read it and, okay, they're leaving Jerusalem, but wait a minute, this is the day that it was discovered that the tomb was empty, and it's only 3 days since the Romans crucified Jesus. And the city was in an uproar. Where are these people going? I think they're getting out of Dodge. They're getting out of town. It's curious because it doesn't mention anybody else on the road. Why would that be? There were thousands of people that went to Jerusalem for the Passover. How come there's only a couple of people on the road? Maybe it's dangerous to be on the road. After all, the story earlier in the Gospel about Jesus being tried, somebody saw Peter, but wait, he was with them. And Peter said, oh, well, he was with them. So what happens if you were with him? It was dangerous. Some people are getting out of town. There's a little historical curiosity here. It's really a discussion maybe for another day, but one of the disciples is named Cleopas. You don't hear anybody named Cleopas as one of the 12 disciples, but because there are actually lots of disciples. Disciple means a student, one who learns and follows. Well, there were 12 disciples we hear a lot about. They seem to go just about everywhere with Jesus. But there are lots of other people as well. So they seem to be using disciples in that way. Small d disciple. One of them is never named. And the thinking is that the person who's not named is actually Cleopas' wife. You may never have heard that before, but it's not an idea that I came up with. There are many biblical authorities going back to antiquity and say that's the case because, why would that be the case? Well, partly because the role of women seemed over the years to have been diminished and removed in the scriptures for reasons, whatever reasons. But her name was Mary. At the foot of the cross. There was another Mary. It was Mary, the mother of Jesus at the foot of the cross, and it was Mary, the wife of Cleopas at the foot of the cross. And you know, if two guys were walking out of town, two is a crowd for the Romans, and the man and his wife, not much of a threat. And then Jesus shows up, but doesn't show up because they don't recognize him. So what are you talking about? And so they say, well, Jesus, you know, it's Jesus. Now he's gone, we don't know what to do. The bombs fall out of our world, come apart at the seams, just what we don't know what to do. And so this stranger on the road, remarkable that they even let him into their conversation. I mean, who is he? Is he an informant for the Romans? Gotcha. They let him in to their twosome, their threesome. And Jesus, who they don't know who he here's the place where they're going to go. Now, some scriptures say it was an inn, but others say it was a home. That makes sense. A home. I don't know. And Jesus said, well, okay, looks like you folks are going to do that. I'll keep walking. And he said, no. You stay with us. Stranger. Stay with us. And so Jesus stays with them, and they serve him a meal. And when Jesus breaks the bread, he's revealed to them as Jesus, and he disappears. And so what did they do? It's compounding. It's outside of the human experience to have something like this happen. What did they do? What they did was, they said that was Jesus. And at that hour, at the end of the day, after the long walk, after they had left Jerusalem for safety and freedom, and it's dark, they turned around and they went back to Jerusalem. They knocked on the door where the other disciples were hiding for their own safety. And they said, we have seen the Lord. It's a pretty remarkable story. Confounding to explain it because it doesn't need explaining. It just is what it is. Christ shows up in the guise of a mother. We don't know who that is, or is going to be, or has been, but we never know. We heard a story a few moments ago of a kindness expressed to a stranger. We never know. Maybe Christ is here today. I know Christ is here today because it was written that the Spirit of Christ is in every one of us. Just think of that today. The person who you need, or who needs you, would be right here today. Or maybe one of you go down to Edmund's Market, the man who puts the meat out on the meat counter, maybe that's Jesus. Or Gorda Valley Brook Variety, the Hog's Breath Bar and Grill. Maybe that woman at the counter. We don't know. Maybe up the line up at Pine Tree Frosty up in Ranson, go get your ice cream. Maybe the one that takes your order, but the ring in her ear and that too. Maybe she is Jesus Christ. I'm absolutely honest and sincere in telling you we don't know. I expect if we were maybe sitting around a campfire, I would say, anybody got a story about somebody showing up in your life? Somebody showing up? Who's got a story? I think it's a pretty good chance there's a lot of stories like that. If somebody showed up who needed you or who needed God. The story about the two on the road to Emmaus, whoever they were, discovered Jesus in someone who was a stranger. Possibly could have been viewed by some as a threat. And their lives were changed forever because they turned around and went back to face what they had feared to face before they began their walk. Amen.
saying, will you let me be your servant? Render to no one evil for evil, but go forth to love.